Veterinarians who operated on an ox or a donkey would be paid 1/6 of a shekel if the animal was healed. If it was not healed, then the veterinarian would have to pay a fine to the owner. So it makes you wonder why anyone would want to go into the healing profession in antiquity. Architects and builders were held responsible for the safety of the structures that they constructed. If a builder built a house and it was unsound and collapsed, killing the owner, the builder would be killed. If the homeowner's son had been killed, then the builder's son would be killed. So there's a very equal retribution, and these would all be for free persons. In less tragic circumstances, when no one died or was injured, then the builder was required to repair the house at his own expense. Likewise, boatmen who lost cargo because of their carelessness in transporting the load up or down the river had to replace the goods at his own expense. So we see that if you engaged in certain professions, you had responsibilities to your customers. Hammurabi concluded his list of laws with a praise poem to himself and a message to future kings. He urged his successors to observe the pronouncements of justice that I have inscribed on my stele, and to not alter the judgments I rendered and the verdicts that I gave, nor remove my engraved image. Should a future ruler even contemplate changing Hammurabi's laws, the Babylonian king encouraged the gods to visit terrible ordeals on him: illness inflicted on his own body, famine and devastation throughout his lands. Although Hammurabi's laws seem extensive and even very specific, they do not address many important social ills, nor do they create a workable set of legal precedents that could effectively resolve disputes. We have only one text from all of Mesopotamian literature that even refers to the concept of legal precedent. So this fundamental aspect of laws and a legal system did not seem to exist in Mesopotamia. These gaps in the laws lead us to think that the law codes had a different purpose than what we would imagine them to have simply by reading the lists of laws. A survey of all of the law codes shows that the laws preserved were not always new. So a king did not establish a new set of laws when he came to the throne. And there are also major components of a well-established legal system that are missing from these law codes. So we don't have any idea of the basic organization of the justice system, or civic or political responsibilities of the king or the city. And these would be important if a king wants to ensure justice throughout his land. The goal of the law code was not practical, but instead was ideological. The king guarantees justice. He looks at all of the laws, all of the people he protects, and the fact that he displays these laws in public proves his concern for justice. We know, for example, for Hammurabi's law code, that many other copies were set up throughout the kingdom. And that is what is important, the important purpose of these law codes, that they are visible and present for people to see. They remind them that the king cares about justice. We've also referred to Hammurabi's legacy in a previous lecture, and the laws that he created were copied for centuries. So this shows that his legal code was an important part of his legacy, and he was remembered for them. Later kings will refer to themselves as being someone who is as concerned for justice as Hammurabi was, for example. If we think of the law codes as part of the king's message to his people, rather than a set of specific laws, it gives us a very different way of thinking about them. And I think it's even more intriguing than looking at the remnants of a legal system, because it shows that the king has to acknowledge many different levels of society And so he demonstrates to his people that he's aware of economic and social distinctions. And he will provide a law that protects them no matter what it is.